Welcome, everybody, to your Tuesday morning special. It is The Wrestling Show, where we go over everything that happened this last week in wrestling. I'm Cab Manning from the Lingus Mafia podcast, along with my usual cohort, Mr. Shit Disturber himself, Mr. Billy Body.
You know, I am the messiah and the architect now of this show, because we now use notes.
Yes, we do. We have notes.
I never thought we would. But actually, like, it was kind of a crutch that I was like, oh, we do a show. We come on the fly. We're good. We're like awesome at our job. We can just do it. We just free roll. But actually, like, it's so much easier to sit here and remember the notes and not scrambling around, because sometimes I used to do shows like, why didn't I talk about this? Why didn't I talk about that? So although obviously there's not actual lines and gags and stuff installed, because that would be very much scripted WWE, we do have everything down that actually happened, so we can at least float around and pick and choose what we talk about. And I think it's made the show like much better. Plus, the finishing time is always like well in sight doing it this way. Because if you see you're like 30 minutes in and you've covered two bullets, like, we need to move in.
So let's do that now, because we're always fucking behind. And we'll try to get this by an hour, because don't we have to review the fucking Clash of Champions too coming up?
No, that's in 2 weeks.
It is? It's not this Sunday?
No, it's still this Sunday, because we don't even know if Orton's ready.
Jesus Christ. Do you see how much I paid?
It's the 29th. No, that's my blood test. It's the 27th. The 27th.
Oh, good. They gave us some time in between, you know, having to deal with shit.
There's three shows to go. There's one SmackDown. Two SmackDowns and one more Raw next week. So,
oh, that's good. Okay, let's get to it then. I enjoy the right off the bat when we got fucking Uso and Roman and Paul. They go over there and everything with the family heritage, and you know, they go babyface with this, don't they?
Yeah, they do, and that was the thing with it. Like, it's Uso who's being the real super gullible, almost to extent, babyface, where he's saying, "Paul, you and my family go way back, etc." And Roman's still kind of selling that he's a heel with the looks, but it's not those usual like crappy, blatant wrestling looks with bad acting. Like, this is actually all done pretty well, because Roman just comes out at the end and says, like, "I'm gonna still have to beat you like when we were kids," or whatever. So he still has the prickish lines, but he's not over goofing it up with his acting.
Yeah, he's not. It's very subtle, which is very, very nice, and I'm happy with how they're handling this. It's not fucking terrible like you're expecting them to ruin something.
It's kind of like they said, he's kind of like, they think, well, they booed him anyway when he was just trying to be cool. So just add a slightly cockier edge to it, and he's dislikable to people anyway, which is why they booed him for so long. But now suddenly you'll see it all flip around.
So Corbin and Sheamus come out and talk some shit, of course, and Uso says, oh, we'll do a tag match later, and, you know, they all get in a fight. But Roman does not fucking move. And so you see that shade of bad guy in there, that he can't be bothered with this. And Uso cleans house. So that's where we leave off there for the main event later that night. AJ and Hardy, we get a no contest because Zayn is constantly, you know, doing shit, which you see a mile away with that he's the real IC champion. Did you think it was almost a shot at Matt Hardy that Jeff, like, was passing out? The first thing I thought was, oh, look, Jeff, like, passed out. And it was that prior week that everyone was giving AEW shit for his brother being knocked out.
No, he was doing it, like, backstage, wasn't he? Wasn't he, like, passed out?
He tried to walk up the ramp and collapsed.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe. But, I think there's a more stronger example coming later on in the show of WWE being angry and aware of AEW and doing and sending them a message. I think later on Raw, talk about it.
They got Lucha House Party and Cesaro and Nakamura, because the Street Profits show up in the back, and oh fuck, they're rough, the Street Profits. It's it's almost like having an annoying friend that won't go away and acting up in the back, and it's just fucking obnoxious.
You see my notes here?
Yes. I lead you in. Go ahead.
Any program they're in, I said, it's fresh or old. Because I figured maybe like, okay, Andrade and Garza, like they're running out of stuff,
yeah.
But they're just unbearable act. It took so long. It's not a black thing either. It took so long for the New Day to get stale. About 2 years, 2-3 years. Mm-hmm. And they've now well overstayed their welcome New Day by about 4 years now. But these guys, they've never been good, and they've never been tolerable, and I've never understood their jokes, and I've never liked people that said fam and
oh,
that kind
God,
of shit.
I hate
and
that.
Just, I can't stand them. I can't. They're fucking. I reiterate again what I said before. If there were crowds here, they'd be turning on them, and they would have to be heels.
I agree. I agree that the crowd would shit on them. It's too obnoxious. It's nearly fucking bad guy type of shit. I expect Lucha House Party to break up. They teased us with this a couple weeks ago.
But they win here, so they're probably going to get a tag shot. Again.
Yeah. Bayley explains why she turned on Sasha. And the worst part about this is I agree with what you wrote. Why would they have fucking Sasha show up next week already? I'm like, they're going to drag this to Mania and she's showing up next week?
There's no need for it at all. The only thing I would think is that she ends up getting attacked again.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, they're trying. I mean, she's going to turn up in a neck brace and everything, but it does worry me that they're going to, like, try and blow this off the Hell in a Cell because they're maybe looking at it and thinking, who else we got? And they had that Naomi match in the bank from the Beat the Clock Challenge, but they haven't used that at Clash of Champions. So, I don't know. Hell in a Cell, like, Bayley doesn't need to be in the Hell in a Cell because Drew and Orton are probably going to be in the Hell in a Cell, and Fiend and Roman are probably going to be in the Hell in a Cell. So, I don't see, you don't need to do this.
Well, now that Hell in a Cell is a fucking, it'll probably be an ambulance match, as they said. I go, where'd this come from? That was the first thing I saw last night was, I go, ambulance match? Who the fuck said that? It's the first time they even mentioned it. Nikki Cross wins the women's Fatal 4-Way to face Bayley, and Alexa is still got hypnotism with the Fiend. Alexa was looking good though, wasn't she? Her body was banging out.
Yeah, she just looks better like this. She's gone back to like prime Alexa with these pigtails and everything. There's actually like a little bit I should have dug up with smart. Fan, the guy Larry on there's a mm-hmm. song about Alexa in pigtails. I'm gonna try and dig that up, like, even though it's their thing. I think it promotes them, so I don't think they'll care if we play it. But yeah, if she continues to do this, we'll dig that clip up. But she was on Talking Smack, doing it as well, like doing the whole conveying that she was semi possessed or whatever, or under some
really?
Kind of trance. Yeah, you know, I think. In those pigtails, is she going to make a run to get her Lingus crown back?
Yeah, she might win Miss Lingus this year in March. She's always in that top fucking... She's always right there at the fucking top, which I was surprised by because I thought she got stale. She needs outfit changes, and that's why Liv Morgan won because she became fucking outfit changes like Angela Lansbury.
I believe Liv Morgan won.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, look at Liv. I mean, come on. Liv looks fucking good. She got no tits, but, you know.
Yeah, that's the thing. I never really had her up there.
That's what does it. I'm shocked she lost. She beat Mandy Rose, for God's sake.
Did Mandy Rose not win last? Did not come close to winning last time?
She lost to fucking Liv last year, but the prior year, Mandy won, breaking a 2-year streak of fucking Alexa. We've been doing this thing for like 6 years or five, something like that.
She's not on TV, so Paige is not going to get a look in.
But no, that's the problem.
I'd put Paige on TV now. I'd find just something for her to do.
Paige was the first ever Miss Lingus, and I still yell at Fausti about it. I think this was... God, I wonder if it was before the sex... No, it wasn't. It was after the sex tape, but like not right after it. And it was during the whole Del Rio thing where you wanted to kill her because she's a fucking moron. And Fausti was the one who voted for her that put her over the edge of winning the whole thing. I'm like, what the hell? How is she the first ever fucking winner? Pale and gross. But now she Yeah, those titties go a long way. So if she was on TV, I mean, why wouldn't they have her on TV now, of all things, with those big giant balloons?
Yeah, I don't want to like managing the Kabuki Warriors. She needs to be doing something.
The Bukkake Warriors?
Yeah.
So Otis versus Morrison, they steal the fucking briefcase again. This time they steal the lunchbox, and it's in the other fucking lunchbox. Briefcase in a lunchbox. Okay, I get it.
Yeah, they overkill the joke. I was a supporter of it last week, and you wasn't even a supporter in week one. I lost it here with this because
you were done.
It was just not like as in it didn't anger me, but I just was like, okay, we get it. Like he's looks dumb, but he's smarter than these two who are dumber. Like Morrison's the dumbest.
Yeah, and so then it's like Miz, I'm gonna make a phone call, so you don't even know what that is until the day after. Because apparently, we'll talk about it afterwards. Okay, we got the.
Why you think that should be talked about on Raw?
Or at the end of SmackDown, between Raw and SmackDown, because that's when it happens, I guess. I mean, we might as well mention it now. Who cares? It's not like it's a big deal. But Miz has Mandy traded to Raw. How? I have no fucking idea. And why not do this on the show? Why are they doing it on Talking Smack?
They're like 3 weeks away from the draft as well. So I don't know. I guess they had an earmark to do it anyway. And I just think they may have like run out of idea, like to change their mind about this story. Because obviously like maybe this Mandy and Otis thing was heading towards his like big push. And maybe he was going to cash in and she was going to screw him. Or
I think it's a way to get them away from each other because they do not know how to split them up and not have somebody turn on the other one.
Yeah, that's what I think now. I think they've now changed their mind as to what they're going to do.
They can't, like, I expected Otis to be the one to break up with her. Like, listen, I'm just not into you, really. Sorry, you know, but me, Mr. Funny Guy. And, you know, it's like, oh, well, we decided to be friends. That's what I expect actually one day for them just to come on TV and out of the blue, they'll go, oh, we decided we're just going to be friends and everybody's cool with each other. There'll be nothing that we see. Nothing happens. And it's just
done.
We're still
doing the whole can't break us up, we'll still be together thing.
Yeah. And you know what's funny is I see I'm on her Instagram and stuff like that, of course. And she had this post and it was like writing. And I'm looking at it like, because I start to read it at first and I'm like, what the fuck happened? And I don't think it's like storyline. I'm starting to read it, right? And I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ. But at first I was like, oh, fuck, she's yelling at somebody. What the fuck is this? I'm like, oh, no, it's for fucking SmackDown. Your story, let me suck you off a moment here, Billy. Lay back and let me tie my hair up. You breaking stories, and I posted this on my Twitter, which, by the way, none of these fucking fans from this show, all these downloads, nobody follows my Twitter, Billy. None of them go to fucking at Lingus Mafia. It's fucking embarrassment.
I don't think they follow mine either.
I don't know. You jumped over 1,000 right off the fucking bat, but come on. What the fuck?
A lot of that could be from Russo show.
Yeah. You know what? You're right, probably. But I go, fuck, I promote this Lingus and Mafia every fucking week. I get fucking nothing from it. They don't fucking like me here. I should do something where I say, if I don't get this many followers, I fucking quit this show. And it probably won't happen, though. So why bluff what I can't fucking back up? So your story, you nail these fucking stories. Meltzer's a fucking joke, as we fucking know. These pro wrestling fucking sheet nonsense never fucking has shit. Who's the other fucking guy that does the fucking news?
Mike Johnson. I don't know what his title is.
There's the other one. Fucking Wade Keller. He's another one. He doesn't do anything either. He tries. The man tries.
Well, Peter Spider, that's his name. And then there's sites like Wrestling Inc. with Raj Geary and Ringside News for Steve Carey. And these guys, they just all steal. They're the sites that just say what everybody else is saying. And now leave recently, because of the traffic dips they probably had, they're trying to now pretend they have stories. So they do stuff like, you know, when something happens, they're playing like the backstage stuff. And they're all like, oh, there was some heat backstage where Paul wasn't happy about the Wobbly Walrus character and all. It's like, fuck off. Like, this is just completely made up fucking story. You don't think there was any conversation with him when they registered the trademark? They were like, he was just sitting there backstage watching the TV and the Wobbly Walrus popped up. And then, you know, with him being in the business for so long, he then decided to go up and go, oh, I'm not happy about this. Why didn't anybody tell me? I'm so offended. I don't look like a walrus. Yeah, whatever. Like that. Like none of that actually fucking happened. But these are the stories that they do.
So Billy breaks the story that they have trademarked something called Wobbly Walrus, and how they promoted there's going to be a new friend, the Funhouse, and how everyone thinks it's Alexa because they go right to Alexa after he mentions it. But from what you learned, you believe it's going to be a puppet after Paul Heyman. And you report this on Russo's show well before SmackDown airs, and bang, on SmackDown right then. So suck it, everyone else.
Yeah, I mean, that's on YouTube forever. Like, yeah. that's on Friday. That's a live show on Friday afternoon.
I don't think you get as much credit as you should. For some reason, you have that black ball stuff going on. But it's like, you're still out there doing stuff. But it's like people said, we're just going to ignore that he's around and pretend he's not breaking stories. Because it's like, I don't know if you got to get into a groove to be more in the fucking spotlight and more into media or something on a national platform of some sort to get credit. But I mean, Russo knows, and Russo has you on the show doing these stories every week.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, so that they will have started to quote the brand. I was like credited on Ringside News or whatever as part of the brand, but not Dirty Sheets. The Dirty Sheets is a name that they don't want to use.
So, after this, we get into the main event, which was Uso, Roman, against Sheamus and Corbin. I enjoyed the way they did this, the same as you did, that Uso is there by himself, because I'm like, what the fuck? Roman doesn't fucking show up. Uso's fucking beating them both back and forth, getting his ass beat, finally, you know, barely getting upper hand and, you know, doing the whole entire match himself. Roman shows up at the fucking end, tags himself in, spear, win. Which is the perfect show up and win. So, you know, he gives him the shit stare as he lifts the belt like he fucking did something.
Yeah, I really like that, where he comes in and does that. I thought that it was, I think you can't do it again now. I think you can only do it this one time.
Yeah.
Because you've already done it before. There's not many, too many other situations where you can. But yeah, I thought this was good. And Uso looked good because he did all the work. But I mean, it doesn't look good for Sheamus and Corbin. But I suppose you don't need heels at the moment to be in these stronger positions. But yeah, I mean, it's a draft coming up as well. I think these are two guys that might need to move. I don't know if you can even get them to Drew, though. Or Sheamus, maybe. But I don't have any interest in Corbin versus Drew.
So, jumping after that, we're done with SmackDown now. We go into Raw. And we're making good time here, Billy. We're moving at a good clip for the first time fucking ever on this show. Drew and Orton, we get a recap of everything that has happened. And Drew's fantastic promo to start the show. Your thoughts? So, you wrote this promo for Drew.
Oh my God, no, I didn't. Yeah, I mean, so if anybody points to the show and recuses off of bias and says that, oh, everything.
I was shocked when I read your notes. I go, look at this. Wait, he's not really blowing them.
I don't think I do, though. I think I've like been quite fair the whole time. This was awful. This, I think, was where the whole feud jumped the shark, where it's been a bit, you know, a bit convoluted since Keith Lee entered. And I can see that they didn't want to do Drew and Orton at that pay-per-view because they already had the Clash of Champions. And if you want to get it to Hell in a Cell, Hell in a Cell will be the fourth match. And you can't do four matches unless Randy Orton is winning the title at some point. So I think that, for me, is a big indicator that Keith Lee is in this feud at all, is that they don't want to ever get the belt off Drew in this feud. Randy Orton isn't winning the title, contrary to what everybody else thinks. So that's fine, but the interjection of Keith Lee has like really dampened this thing down. Then Drew goes out there he doesn't know what he's saying. He's corny as fuck with the stuff that he's like coming out with, telling some story about the Claymore, how he,
which how he completely lies about his own story. I wouldn't say lie. I mean, it's wrestling. It's a fucking script. But the story he told on Table of Three is completely different. Not completely, but it's a tad different than the story he tells last night. So I'm like, well, if you're going by what was already said, for God's sake, on the show.
But why is it relevant here? Like, about his tight pants? And
I don't know.
It's just move. Like, that's it. It's like,
I developed a move, you know, and I thought if I could harness this, what are you talking about?
Yeah, who cares? So he cuts like a bad promo, like from promo school day one. He got lost out there. I don't know what he was trying to convey. As I said, Keith Lee's muddying the waters, and to the point where Adam Pearce comes out. He makes a stupid announcement where he says, if Keith Lee wins, and if Randy Orton isn't able to make it, then he gets the match instead. But what if Keith Lee wins and Randy Orton does make it? Then what happens? And then what if Keith Lee loses and Randy Orton doesn't make it? Then what match are you going to do? Like, what are the scenarios here? And Drew turns around and just... And then again, he's trying to go down to the angry slash comedic route where he's like, well, who put you in charge? And then Keith Lee comes out and they fucking give each other like love eyes, and then they give each other angry eyes, and they scare, they touch a little bit, they giggle at each other. It's fucking terrible. This is one of the worst thing. This is the worst thing that Drew's done in 6 years, I would say. It's so bad.
The only thing worse was, hey, what's up, all you cool cats and kittens? That was the only worst.
This was all along that. Like, they could be a cringe. You could start now making a cringe reel of Drew's run. And this would be, there would be bits from this. And there would be a couple of those, like, lines that he gave when he was entering at the beginning of his reign. I think it's been a lot better since then. And the pure fact that he had to face Dolph Ziggler, I would put that all in as well. But yeah, this is really bad. It's a bad start to Raw. Worst thing Drew's done as champion was this beginning.
And Ziggler is on the microphone because two guys are on vacation this week.
Yeah, I noticed that as well. And do you think that in 5 years' time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Drew's like, you know, Drew's obviously still going to be the company. Do you think he's going to have his hair?
You know what? I've been thinking that for a while at this point.
I don't really look particularly like noticeable this week. It seems
probably
like it's gone back.
It wasn't wet. That didn't help, I don't think. But I mean,
I think it's worse actually. I think like, there's more gaps when it's wet. I thought when it was dry, I've not really been like noticing it. But it's more so like he doesn't like sometimes when you have the long hair. Like even I like you know can have those like those thinner like gaps where it's not as thick as it was. But it's I've. This one seems to be like going back, like Corbin's.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's the front that's going away, kind of like I do. I mean, he's young. How old is he? He's in his 30s, right?
Would be like 35.
Yeah.
Odd, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, once it hits a wall, I think like there's a drastic shift out of the blue.
Do you think it will affect him in any way in terms of like how he's looked upon? Like, or do you think it makes no difference? Do you think he'll still look cool?
God, I don't know. I mean, it's hard to picture him with a different fucking hairdo.
You see, I think Roman, if he shaved his head for this role, I think he would still look good.
Yeah, like, Roman would look great with a buzzed head. But at the same time, it's all there. And he's got a full, thick head. When if Drew were to buzz his head and it started to go away in the front, he'd kind of look like, you know, Bubba Ray Dudley with that hairdo. You know, it's like, well, if it's not there, it's not there. Everyone has to go with the fucking skin bald part after that.
No, there's a new procedure out. It's only about $2,000 where you can actually like tattoo a hairline in. Old people can actually look pretty good, like with maintaining that hairline through the hair tattooing. So,
Your buddies, the Goof Prophets, go against Nakamura and Cesaro. Absolute. Why is this not at Clash of Champions? Why are they wasting it here? I was busy playing Madden football, barely paying attention to it.
Everybody has to be on the line, so it couldn't be a Clash of Champions. But I don't know why you even do this anyway. You feed your better champions to this waste of time champions, and the whole thing is just a waste of time. Like, the first hour of Raw is a pure waste of time. Like, they lost so much momentum at this point. Like, from here, we go on to, like, Cedric and Ricochet, which runs through two breaks. You have Eric and Apollo Crews running down to the ring and doing shit. Like, they have no business even associating with the Hurt Business. And Cedric just gets this win here. And Retribution at some point come out and they cut a promo at the end of this, which is really uninteresting. Mm-hmm. I don't think it does anything for me at all. And that's where I put this first hour is really, really bad. And you had to run alongside the second hour of the game. And the game had points on the board. And it was close at that point. Mm-hmm. So I don't... It was 10-9, I think, at the half. So,
texted each other, and you said...
The Steelers just got down at the half. It was 17-9 going in, yeah.
You were saying, you were like, oh, this is where Raw goes back to boring, long matches. And I was like, yeah, this is how they combat NFL football.
Oh, we'll talk about... I mean, we can skip around here and talk about it, because later on...
well, that was during that Ricochet and fucking and what's it, Cedric Alexander's match. That was when we said that.
But if we skip ahead a couple of matches and we'll go back and cover them, I said during Bobby versus Eric, mm-hmm. I said, I'm starting to wonder if this is a deliberate tank where they don't want to waste anything because it's NFL week one, mm-hmm. doubleheader. Killed anyway, you may get some fans back as the season progresses with weaker Monday Night Football games, the schedules start to develop and teams start to, you know, inherit losing records. Maybe games will be less interesting than people thought, because mm-hmm. you always get those scheduled where it's like Patriots and Steelers, but someone's tanking. Like, yeah. Someone's like Roethlisberger's got his 700th injury of his career and he's mm-hmm. not playing, and the Steelers are a losing record team instead. So you get that. But at the moment, everyone's going to watch because everybody's 0-0. So I'm expecting the weakest Raw rating of all time incoming, because usually if they have that drop-off, and I'm expecting less of a drop-off. But when there's less of a drop-off from 1.7, I think 1.4, which would be the record, is very, very realistic. So I'm predicting 1.4 here for this show. Bobby wins this match, by the way. And we'll skip back to Oscar versus Mickey, because I put here that Mickey's ass finally starts to save the show, because that thing is all over the place, up in your face, and they're actually having a decent match, but then they fuck it with this finish. Like, and there's
what
no
was that
week.
Yeah,
we came on, he was like, oh well, Billy, this is why I looked it up on Twitter or online or whatever. I have no idea what this was. Like, this ref, I think he has to be fired. Was he just did he feel like he missed a tap or something, or that she couldn't see it or whatever? Because there was nothing wrong with her, and Oscar looked really pissed.
I would love to know the story of this, because I'm like, you know, looking back and forth between game, and I'm not switching channels, by the way, everybody. I have 5 televisions on at the same fucking time. I'm looking back and forth. And I go, and I see Mickey's face, like, she's, like, stunned almost. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on? And I had texted Billy earlier in the fucking, in the match, and I went, man, Mickey got a fat ass. Yeah, I was like, correct. Finally, she wasn't wearing an outfit that had, like, a fucking, like, a Nyla Rose with the fucking flap hanging down, covering shit. So that was good.
I got a text here about wrestling that I didn't read this morning. You want to hear it?
Yeah.
WWE has vacated their dates at the Staples Center on the weekend, and they've been filled by a music group called Gruppo Firme. Is that, am I saying that right?
Or do you not know? I've never heard them. Gruppo Firme.
Gruppo. Gruppo. Mm-hmm. Firme, Firme, they have the WrestleMania dates at the Staples Center, which were vacated last couple of weeks, which is why I said that it's not looking like they're going to get there, because that's why I told you they started to talk about a WrestleMania card.
Yeah.
And now, like, those dates are refilled. So there's not going to be a WrestleMania in the West Coast again.
Fuck. You know what's funny is I'm watching the Dallas and Rams game. And I texted Fausti. I go, what a beautiful stadium we're not going to go to this year. Because I was like, well, we were going to go to Mania. But probably not. No, probably not.
No, it'll happen somewhere. I mean, I'm sure you can get there.
And do you think it will be what they have, though? Like, a stadium somewhere? Not full. There's no fucking chance.
Well, 6 months.
I don't trust this country. Bunch of fucking assholes over here. Nobody fucking God.
You may have a new like president ever, like you may have a vaccine, or you may have like you'll at least have a medication for it.
God, you hope by then something it's allowed to fucking happen. Oh, fuck.
Medications come before vaccines generally, so that's more likely to happen. I don't think we need anything other than the fact that this is a thing now. Like people, I don't understand how people can't deal with the world changing, because there's so many things that happen. Like cancer got worse, AIDS came along, like there's different strands of the flu.
Mm-hmm.
Like medicine and illnesses are evolving constantly all the time. Like it's I mean, this whole thing with people's anxiety, stress, depression, etc. I don't think that was as big a thing as it was now, whereas we understand it a bit more, but it's still nothing that you can do about all these things. And just generally as well, there's loads of stuff happening around the world, like with global warming and all this kind of shit, but you don't outlaw every single thing that makes every single other thing worse. Like you can die from eating meat, but it doesn't mean that we banned it. Once we found out there were issues with red meat, at no point did anybody say, right, we're drawing a line under it. This is the most controlling and unnecessary bullshit. And I always come back round to, it ain't about that. It ain't about this. When you look at the share prices of Amazon, Netflix, Google, and other companies that make a shit ton of money when you sit on your ass at home,
mm-hmm.
This about what it is. And also, like, things like, I don't know if you have this over there, but half the shops here, you can't use cash no more. Like, the cash is
dirty. A lot of times,
they're
like, we don't take cash.
You're telling me this is all down to this fucking virus. This is a bigger, much bigger plan in terms of like tracking what we're doing and having more of a eye on us. And that's what card payments will do. There's no way. This has evolved from stay in, stay away from people, don't spread the virus, to don't spend paper money. And why? Because you may have like put it near your mouth. Yeah, really?
I don't know if it's from putting it by the mouth. I think it's just touching, and everything with the fucking touching. Where you remember in the beginning, there was a lot of, you know, wear gloves because it'll live on something and this and that. That kind of has gone away for a while now about touching shit. But let's move on, shall we? So what's Selena's record, by the way, in wrestling?
That's the record. I mean, I wrote here, she comes out and approaches Oscar with her title match, and I estimate her record is 1-77 because her winning this one match one time. But she lost all those matches to Bianca, who's another person. These people, they come on TV and then they just vanish for weeks and they don't have any. They did that with mm-hmm. Shayna. Bianca, one they seem to do it the most with. Like, we can't beat her, but we can't get her a title match. We don't have enough people for her to beat, so we'll just take her off TV again. It's so fucking dumb. At one point, she was teaming with fucking Ruby Riott, and then Liv comes back in there, and they reformed the Riott Squad, and they're doing that whole thing. But yeah, Zelina coming up and saying, you're not giving, like, real talents a shot. It's so fucking stupid. Like, they've really messed up with her when she was having the... I'm not saying this was good, but she was carrying that faction on the show. But then Drew fucking plowed through Austin Theory and Garza and Andrade, and he was just beating the crap out of them 3-1 every week. So no matter how much she tried to rehab it, she ended up still, her group still ended up getting buried. So she's in a bad spot where they need to, she may as well put her with her fucking husband, because he's in a terrible spot as well. We'll talk about him later on. First, just to skip through some stuff mm-hmm. here. Charlie's Lee, she needlessly gives her opinion on Selena Vega. She turns around and goes, oh, I wouldn't mess with Oscar. Like we care what the announcer. Then she talks to Keith Lee, who I'm now finding to be the most boring promo on Raw. I hate the way this guy talks.
He has the same cadence every time he then talks. He goes, he always leads it up and then has his finishing line every time.
look, just be black, man. Like, Jesus, like, it's more believable.
Should he have pancakes?
No, see, that I don't get what's wrong with the black people. Why is there no one out there and going, Drew, you my nigga, but tonight I'm going to fuck you up.
You know what? The Hurt Business would be closest one to do that.
Yeah, MVP. And you know what? And you know what the result is? Everybody thinks that works because he fucking comes out there. And everybody's like, oh, MVP's so good. MVP's unbelievable. Oh, MVP's like been the highlight of the year. And MVP is talking for the Hurt Business. He's got his own fucking talk show. He's even sitting on commentary where they like seamlessly swap him out with Dolph at some point.
Yeah.
Did you know he's here, right? So after we've done the Bobby and Eric match, which is after that Keith Lee promo. So I wrote down here, they kill 30 minutes with not wrestling at all. And it's like just pure fluff. And I'm trying to wonder here if the game is at halftime, which I put in my notes. But then I didn't realize that it's not because the game started at midnight for me. And they're starting to do this around about 2:30 a.m. So coming up to 3 a.m. So I think maybe the game is actually in the third, between the third and fourth quarter here. So I'm not understanding this point. I thought maybe halftime, but no, it's not because the game started earlier than the usual Monday Night Football. So maybe they didn't know that. Maybe they know so little about NFL that they probably thought, oh yeah, these games usually start around about 8 p.m. when this one actually started at 7 p.m. U.S. time. So maybe they just thought that they were actually running with a halftime show. But what we get here is, I'm going to run through it real quick. Stop me if you want to talk about any of this time-killing shit they did. Owens talks about Aleister Black. I enjoyed his Hot Topic joke. And so far, that's been the only good thing on the show, where he made a joke about a Hot Topic and Aleister Black being angry that his favorite T-shirt wasn't there. And it's not even that funny. They then say that Rollins and Dominic is next, but it's not. It's 20 minutes away. And I put, can Dominic get his fifth four-star match in a row? I said we get to look at Aaliyah and her lovely teeth. I think she's pretty decent. Pretty pink. Braun Strowman shows up to fight a Raw Underground. This is where they swap out Dolph for MVP, because MVP's staying there since the Hurt Business match, which is pretty seamless. I just say what I just put down in my notes, what I just said. He's doing every job, wrestling manager, road agent, and now he's the commentator. Seth is with Mercy. Murphy's pretending that he's all cool with him, and then he just abuses him again. We have an R-Truth segment.
Oh, man, that was
embarrassing.
Bad.
I literally figured here, if I'm Kit Kat, I'm asking for my money back. Like, no one's going to buy Kit Kat this. I mean, they even tried to interject Liv into this. And I don't think it helps.
Yeah, I was like, she almost looked like she was going to laugh the whole time. Like, what the fuck is this?
I think, like, the only way you recover from this is you fucking put the Kit Kat inside her and have someone eat it out.
Break me off a piece of that Kit Kat bar.
Yeah. Fuck me. Rollins enters next. And they go to another time killing segment, because even though Rollins is in the ring, they go backstage to the Mysterios in their fucking knockoff designer gear again, with only Dominic's mom is wearing Dominic's t-shirt. And then I figure here that it's the first time it occurs to me, this looks like Rey Mysterio left their mom and remarried a transgender, because does she not look like Bruce Jenner when she's standing in this family? Because I don't even think Ray looks like a man when he has that mask on, because he's got that little fucking that baby face, which I don't think looks any different now, because I don't think you can change it. And yeah, it just, I don't know if she really looks that terrible, but next to this family and being that, looking that tall and big next to her husband, it does look like he married a man or a tranny, or she does look like Bruce Jenner.
I don't know if she looks like Bruce Jenner. I thought she actually looked better with her hair down this time.
I don't know. I think it makes
back fucking little Mexican woman style, you know?
Yeah, I guess. But I guess it might be what she's surrounded by. And Bruce has his hair down too. So, yeah, as I said here, I thought they were doing halftime, but they're not. But I still think that they're doing, they for some reason, they had this pegged as an area of the show I think that people would be watching, because all they did here was promote what was coming up in the final hour. And it's completely different to AEW because apparently, according to their research, the wrestling is the most popular part and what does the highest numbers, whereas these guys think the wrestling is shit and that you need to use these areas to promote what was going on the show. I give them no credit at all that they did, that they looked at that score and saw that the Steelers were pulling clear at this point, because they're not fucking clever enough to think like that. I actually go the opposite way and still think that they thought the game started at 8 and that they had a half time to go up against. I have no idea. But we finally do get to Rollins and Dominic, and yeah, I mean, we could talk about this here. My takes were Murphy shows up. Well, it's not takes, it's what happened. Murphy shows up despite being told no. I wrongly telegraphed that he's going to fuck up at some point because Seth wins again easily.
Mm-hmm.
And this feud, I said, seems destined to go on forever with because we're not nearing like Seth's write-off, because I thought the write-off was going to be the Mysterios getting the win. But because he beats up Murphy afterwards, I wonder if we're moving to Seth versus Murphy. And then Seth Sipsy wins his feud. And then, though, what we get at the end is something with Murphy and Aaliyah, where she, like, touches him. And I simply just remember that he likes to fuck young people, because he got that Alexa Bliss prime pussy at 2016-17. So I was thinking, like, if he fucking managed to plow Liv in between Alexa and Aaliyah, then he's got a nice,
great,
a really fucking good set there. But my take was this match broke the 4-star run. But I'll let you talk about it, because I just ran through all those non-wrestling segments as well. So I don't know if you had anything to say, but you probably got something about this match and this potential romance, which I think they set up. Well, maybe I'm reading into it.
Oh, they're completely setting up. Why would she console fucking Murphy after Rollins just beat him up and he's laying on the floor as she's going into the cage to help her brother? The week before, they were caning this man and he has tried to kill their family. All of a sudden, she is
maybe
like,
she's into
you imagine she comes down in leather. But I'm like, so she's caring about him? Give me a break. She should have fucking kicked him in the eye with her fucking heel on the way in the ring. She wouldn't. She just caned him.
Yeah.
I'm
maybe bothered. Maybe she enjoyed that. That's what. And maybe like now we're gonna do like more segments where like it's like spanking and shit.
We go to Raw Underground and Ziggler's in there now. Of course, I think Ziggler really enjoys it because he could like go back to his college wrestling a little bit, and I think he likes that. He kills a jobber, and then. And Moss gets squashed by Braun, which is interesting because I really enjoyed Braun going to this because he played it off very well that he is pissed from all this shit that he's been going through and needs to take it out on everybody.
I agreed. I think this is the part of Raw that keeps giving, because I was a bit on the fence about it at first, but I now see it as the revolution. The evolution of the squash match, as I said before, which wasn't a thing I've heard anyone else say. Plus, now it also serves another purpose because it's rehab. Because you come in here and you can rehab somebody, and I think you did that with Braun better than him flipping trucks and bullshit that we've seen already before. So, there's many things you can do with this, and it breaks up the show. And this show needed a break. But the thing is that it needed a break in the first hour, and instead we got that, you know, 30 minutes of advertising what was coming up in the last hour. Then we got the steel cage match, and then we get the Raw Underground afterwards. So I think the show picked up. The first hour and a half is so fucking dead. It was like main event / superstars. And that's an insult to superstars, because WWE Superstars 92 and 93 is now added onto the network, and I'm still watching it. I'm just watching Adam Bomb's debut yesterday. He's so wasted. Like, I always thought Adam Bomb,
like him too.
He should have been something.
Yeah, I mean, he had the size, he had the look. I think they screwed him because of the name, probably. But, I mean, they've given other people horrible fucking gimmick names.
He looks a lot like Roman, like similar to Roman. And like, he could have been, I don't know how you got the hard on for Roman now. 2012, Roman comes down and you want to, you know, instantly you want to do something with him. But I don't understand how you didn't get the stiffy for for Adam Bomb in 1992, especially when you needed someone so bad because you didn't want to go with Brett. And they somehow decide, all right, we're going to do the Luger Express, the Lex Express and all that. And he was just never a babyface. He should have been the Adam Bomb Express.
You imagine the Adam Bomb Express going across the country. Drew and Lee have their talk in the back where it's constantly going to touch him. And Drew pushes his hand away. Don't do it. Now they're in fist fights in the back.
This is crazy because, like, I think that they actually went for this because when Drew came out to have his match later, his back is all fucking scratched up and everything. So I think sometimes this is what happens with Drew. He gets, because, you know, obviously I have discussions with him and he really wants to make it work with certain people. He has certain things in his mind. And I think he just decided to Keith Lee. And I know he has these conversations with people where he tells them that, let's just really beat the shit out of each other. I mean, you couldn't pay me enough to say those words, but he enjoys it. So I think this is what, but as I said, still comes back around to me. He's the clusterfuck where it's if Lee wins and if Orton can't make it, and this is what we're building towards. I just think it's so bad because Lee has killed this feud and this was looking like the best feud of the year, but subsequently it's killed Lee as well. Like, Lee's in a really bad position. And I don't know where we go from here. Obviously, Orton comes back next week and we just get a normal match in this whole show.
You don't think it's going three-way?
No, this show's a complete waste of everyone's time. But we'll just finish it because we have to.
Sure.
Owens and Black is next on the other side of this.
Mm-hmm. I laughed that he has this, like, eye patch on the entire day. And then he takes it off for the match.
But he's got the black contacts.
Yeah, but...
Yeah. But he's also got the gay... He's got the gay latex black shiny pants, too.
Yeah, it took me halfway through the match to realize, oh, shit, he's got on pants.
Oh, they're his wife's, man. Like, they are his... I've seen her wear these. I mean, he took and added some, like, fucking... whatchamacallit, text on the side or whatever. I've seen it.
It's so funny. I remember seeing them at an airport together at Mania, actually, when me and you were hanging out. And this is before, obviously, I think it was before it was out that they were, like, seeing each other. Me and my friends were like, oh, look at them going to have fucking coffee together. First thing you think, you know, anytime anybody hangs out with the opposite sex, you're like, oh, shit, they're fucking. But I'm like, yeah, she's with Austin Aries, though.
The thing is that you think that because the man is thinking that anyway. There's no situation like that where the man isn't at least trying.
Oh, women, of course. Women, yeah.
You go out with that you aren't trying to fuck.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
I don't need to be friends with women.
No. And why would you want to be?
Exactly.
Riot Squad.
We got our show back on track. It was losing its sexist, racist tone, and we got it back. What Keith Lee should be, and
why would you be a friend with a woman?
We put this show back on track.
We painted our colors to the flag.
Riot Squad. This is where I put. So this is where I think the real my voice, real AEW dig was. Riot Squad, win a squash. And at first, I was bored here, so originally I didn't think was going to happen. So in my notes, I would try and put these six in cav order.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I came up with, it's not written down here, so I'll surprise
you.
Liv, Lana, Natty, Nia, Ruby Riot, and Shayna.
I'm going, I enjoy the first part of this order. And then I think I'm doing Ruby before Nia.
Oh, that's the way around. I got it. The wrong way around.
You know, God, I might. Nia and Shayna, I really wouldn't mind if they flipped a coin.
You're losing both ways. You're always defending Nia's face and saying you'd come.
That's the only thing. Because you go, okay, well, she blows me. I could look at her face. But you do have to see what's attached. So the other way is, Shayna's face is reverse. She's butterface. Her body could be fine. She got a big fat ass. So maybe you turn doggy style. You don't have to look. I would prefer that. I don't mind a little something. It's okay. I'll get past it. And they got a pretty face, right? It's a lot of something. I don't know if you can concentrate on a face that much.
Well, that Shane riding you like I'm shielding. What about blowjob with a gum shield?
I was just thinking the same thing. I go, maybe she have to take that out though. And she had to paint on some eyebrows for me too. All right. So this match, I totally thought Lana's titty was going to come out. Did you realize that too? When she got pinned, like she laid on her fucking chest and like her top was falling out.
So here's what I was going to say about it. This was so blatant a dig at Rusev. So these two have been getting reasonably pushed because I thought Natty was heading towards Oscar. Maybe not. So Lana gets killed in his squash match. Riot Squad win a match in like 3 minutes. They look like a WWE Superstars match. And then Lana gets the pin. Then out of nowhere, the Nia and Shayna beat them up. And Lana gets put through a table, which I'm pretty sure that she's so dumb, she doesn't even know how to take that fall safely. So they want her to get hurt, I reckon. And earlier on in the show, they have her like flirting with Angel all in the same night.
Oh, yeah.
Do you have any doubts at all? This was like, fuck you, like Rusev for debuting AEW this week. Because this was death of Lana.
The Angel thing, I really did. I go, oh, God, she's going to have her make, they're going to have her make out with fucking Angel now. It's the first thing I fucking thought. And I'm like, oh, no Demi? She wasn't there this week? What happened to her? But yeah, I'm like, oh, they're just going to have her make out with people. And she's so stupid that she's probably like, oh, look, they like my acting ability. You're like, no, this is just a fucking stick it to Rusev. And I don't know why they want to stick it to Rusev so bad. The guy never did anything to them, you know?
Oh, the table definitely was. Because when man telling her in the day, yeah, you're going through the table, I know she doesn't know how to take that bump or wouldn't have wanted to take that bump. And there was no need to take that bump. If they just lost that match, what difference does it make?
I was worried about that bump too, because that was on the edge, on the corner, on the side of the table. I was like, oof. I was worried it wasn't going to fucking break or they were going to stab themselves in the back.
No, they probably told them to fucking do it as hard as you can. She's a vapid cunt.
Well, she just falls down.
Yeah.
Lana didn't have to do shit.
But 100% deliberate. I don't know. I don't think that's me being paranoid or pulling something out of my ass here. Keith Lee walk into the ring.
Oh, he's boy. His third outfit.
Negro Vader.
He needs that big fucking mask that he wears. That big giant fucking beast thing on his head.
Well, yeah, why not? Ugly, too. He's not fucking good looking, is he? Like, you may as well have the mask. Like, you may as well go full Vader. Just still somehow.
Black Vader.
He looks fat in Vader. Like, I don't understand how even in this, there's something going on here where they just can't get this fucking outfit right.
Because they can't. They can't. Vince is like, we got to hide this some way, somehow. He didn't like nothing and just the fucking shorts. And so then he switches it to jogging shorts like fucking Samoa Joe. And a fucking, what do you call it, spandex shirt. And then it goes to back to his regular pants with a spandex shirt. Now it's back to shorts, his regular spandex shorts, and the King Kong Bundy fucking top.
The problem is with all the other guys, yeah, is that they were, or even if it's like Bam Bam or Vader, these guys were all just naturally like bigger and more rounded evenly. Mm-hmm. So it didn't look like that, a big fat gut sticking out. They just looked like, you know, fat guys, right? Or big, yeah. Or huge 400-pound guys. He has the disparity of his gut is just huge. His gut is just like so much bigger. Like he has a big round gut and he does, it's not even all the way around. So like you can't put him in these outfits because it looks like he's fucking suffocating. It looks like he's going swimming. It looks like he's a fucking... He looks like he's in a woman's swimming outfit, like a bathing suit. So it looks fucking awful. So you just can't do it. I just think that the fact is that you just leave him out there just to be how he was before, because no one was even commenting. Yeah, he was a fat guy, but he could defy gravity and all that. And you know what? It's always believable that fat guy can fight, especially if he can move. because, you know, you look at that guy and think, oh, he can't do nothing in a fight. He's going to be slow. But then when they're not slow, it's fine. So I don't understand why you need to suffocate this guy in his outfits and everything. I just think that just this whole thing with the music changing and the outfits changing and the general booking, because he's not just coming in and beating up Ziggler and Shelton Benjamin. It's just sticking him at the top where he can't beat nobody. That win against Orton is so under the radar now. It's just forgotten. This is so bad. The main event that they have, they put a breakthrough this. They come back and there's no winner. Retribution comes down and fucking interferes in the match. There's fucking loads of them now. There's like fucking 50 of them. The Hurt Business come down. And
we forget to say that the Hurt Business said they'll be the security and they'll charge them for it. So right, what's so funny is you think, so MVP's on commentary. And when the lights start to flash and Antifa shows up, so does he then run up the fucking aisle? Like run up to the back to fucking have his little group come out after?
He was definitely commentating on this match, was he?
I believe so. I'm pretty
sure. What's
funny
to me,
I mean, fuck,
is that they this 100% they get to replicate Antifa versus Black Lives Matter on TV, which is probably what the whole reason behind is in the first place, because we see Black Lives Matter versus Antifa. And then having this brawl, they end it with Drew and Lee, and it seems like a really like down on Drew on this show. They do the gay wrestling somersault, the gimmick, where they land on him and everybody has to be dead. This whole group.
It's an impressive move, though. I do say it's impressive to see a fucking, not only Drew jump over, but especially fucking Lee to fucking jump over. That's insane.
But it's not possible to hit 75 people with it. And everybody and everybody is down.
Everyone knocked out.
The show like goes off. And at not one point do any of these babyfaces decide, fuck this, I'm going to take take the mask off one of these assholes and see who's under there. Mm-hmm. No, we just go off the air. Terrible, terrible fucking ending to a terrible, terrible show. All the momentum that they've got and all the praise that we've given them for 3 weeks, undone on this Raw. SmackDown, absolutely fine. Still looking forward to SmackDown.
SmackDown. Always do.
Absolutely do not think that Sasha Banks should be anywhere near that fucking show unless they're going to really break her neck this time. But other than that, it's still better than this shit. This is off the rails now, again.
Did you realize Michael Cole said that Ivar injured his cervix? Did you hear that?
Men don't have a cervix, do they?
I know. But he caught himself. He said cervical. I was like, well, this will be online tomorrow. but yeah, it's I far like SmackDown much better, of course. But it didn't make any sense that I laughed too, because I said, oh, this I like the whole Hurt Business coming out. It looked like badass, right? Like, oh, we're about to fucking fuck you up, you know? But then you're like, there's four of them. I'm like, there's like fucking 20 of the other fucking people.
Why did they make the week where they gave them so many? Because they knew that they were going to be involved in against six guys. This is the week where you definitely go to six. In the week where you're kicking the fuck out of everybody, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's where you have 20 because you're totally outnumbered. In the week where you're going to have to sell for the first time, you don't have more people. You have less.
And
it's so dumb.
I expected, because they're kind of like, this kind of puts Hurt Business as good guys, doesn't it?
That's what I said.
I'm like, when they're walking to the fucking ring, I totally expected them to stop and go, nah, fuck that, and walk away. I totally didn't think they would fucking go and fight, because I'm like, well, that's more of a good guy thing. They're going to be like, fuck this place, I don't give a shit. But right into it, and I'm like, okay, fucking five on ones, each one of those guys. And I'm like, little Alexander getting his ass fucking handed to him.
Yeah, I don't know what to say. I look at the NFL on that side and figured that there would be some kind of combative like strategy. But instead, I think what we got was them just turning around and going, fuck it, we'll get more viewers next week. Because, but the thing is, Aren't NFL starting this time round with two doubleheaders on Mondays?
Yeah, it was two. So they start. Usually start every year.
No. As in, like, next week is another Monday night doubleheader. It's not going just to.
Not as far as I knew. I thought it was just always the first one and
done. Yeah, that's what it normally is.
Yeah, I'll look right now and see what it is. Who's your winner of the week?
It's not true.
The love you share, you're not going to fucking pick him?
No, I think it'd probably be Roman. No, actually, you're right.
There's one game. Yeah.
But look, it's the fucking Saints against the new and improved Super Bowl contenders, the Las Vegas Raiders.
Yeah, who will get killed this week?
It's in LA. So is that going to be the first?
It's in Las Vegas.
Yeah. It's in Las Vegas. Is it going to be in that new stadium?
Yeah. Brand new stadium.
Ready?
Mm-hmm. Of course.
What a waste.
I know. Both brand new stadiums. I don't know if anybody's going to be at this one either. It's like, fuck. That sucks.
Well, apparently, like, they were saying, like, 2 weeks of emptiness, and then everybody's going to start introducing,
which,
like,
makes
17.
No sense. Why 2 weeks? Are we going to be any different?
Yeah. We're going to have this. You're going to have it solved next week. I can't. Oh, wait.
Well, they said November 4th it'll be over. There'll be no more pandemic.
Ugh.
All right. Well, we're done, I think, here.
How long did we do?
102.
Oh, okay.
If you want to follow us and not subscribe to our Twitter, mine is at Lingus Mafia and Billy's at DirtySheets.com. As well as Lock Betting, where you want to get his gambling stuff because he's been hot to the touch.
I don't usually like hammer it home, mm-hmm. but fuck me, 100% NBA, 100% US Open tennis at the weekend, 100% NFL ATS. And I'm not talking like two games here, three games here. The NBA was five picks. The tennis was two picks. The NBA, the NFL was six picks against the spread this weekend, all for like one unit. That's already $600. And then the soccer this weekend as well, which is my main sport, 8-2. I got two things wrong in all of those fucking sports from Friday to Monday. Oh, actually, sorry, it's not 8-2. Yesterday was a soccer sweep, so it's 11-2 now for the soccer from Friday to Monday. I forgot the three bets we won yesterday.
And he does wrestling, too, so in a week he will have wrestling picks as well on there for you to win money. You going to let me piggyback on you, motherfucker? I know you like the Bogart. I mean, I get it, though, because you're only allowed – you can't go $1 billion, so
– Oh, I'm totally out of that. I don't bet at all now. Austin's mum and Austin bet now on her account, and they split the money. I just tell them I can't do it at all. I absolutely dismantled payback.
Oh,
and then I tried to bet AEW, and my limits are totally gone. It's like
$2
now.
Oh, that sucks. Oh, you know what you got to do though, is you got to get me an address over there, and then I can do it for us.
Well, I had to have this conversation. I call up Austin's mum and was like, "Hey, Austin's been winning all this money betting, mm-hmm. so I'm going to transfer you his winnings and you need to open an account and let him carry on betting." And she was obviously like not happy mm-hmm. entirely. Then she was all like, "Oh, well, you know, I want to get in on this. Like you give me to everybody's the same."
Sure.
They got morals until they can make some money. And you know, the job she used to do. So, so she's fine with it now because she's like, "Oh, so you're going to send us the tips. And we're going to bet." And I'm like, yeah, I'll send you the tips. Little does she know that most of the weeks, Austin doesn't listen to me anyway because he's nine and just guesses his own predictions and makes money anyways. So,
that's funny.
Yeah. So he can just do it himself. He can just make him and his mum the money. I'll tell you just one thing. I'll tell you mm-hmm. why I thought it was two games. Because the way our dates are done over here, it tells me that there's a Monday game. It tells me that Seahawks and Patriots is on a Monday because it's on a 1:20 uh-huh. on Sunday. That's what.
You know what? Even if you gave me an address over there, I couldn't do it. Remember, I got to like send a picture of my fucking license.
Yeah, unless you go through like PayPal because then they trust that PayPal have verified it themselves.
Ugh, fuck. What? I can't get around that. Fuck, man. They need to, and California, I can't gamble for shit here either. It's a fucking joke. I try to do DraftKings. You're blocked because I'm in California. fucking retarded, even though it's supposedly legal here. But
all with addresses in Chicago and all them other places, no?
Yeah, and you know, I got to do the whole change VPN stuff to do Chicago. I was looking at that the other day. I'm like, how do I fucking change my VPN to say I'm in Chicago? So I can do DraftKings. Then I would do it better.
You can still hit up Umar. I'm sure he doesn't have the limits, but he wants like all the money plus 10% up front. So,
I mean, I wouldn't mind, you know, fucking cutting him in. Black who gives a shit, you know?
Oh, yeah, he wants the black bonus.
He's trying to get his fucking, not retribution. What are they fucking caught?
I always wonder if he's like, if he's on them black man time, because I've never known a black man to be on time for things. I wonder
CPT,
with his job.
It's called.
What's that CPT?
Colored people time.
Oh, we call it BMT, black man time. But with his job especially, I wonder if he's on time to places. Because I even the other day, like, me and
he has to be. Austin, guy's a lawyer. Austin,
well, I noticed Dadu, Austin and his son played soccer together in the soccer team, and he's got a massive like job as a music producer, and we're arranging to play mini golf together, and you got to book the tee time 25 minutes late.
Oh man!
Oh, I got this, and I'm here, and there's these traffic lights, and oh, we're just parking, and we can't find space. Yep.
Wow.
BMT doesn't matter how much money you've got.
CPT BMT.
Like, I imagine, you know, Umar's late to court a lot.
Oh my God, you imagine. Jesus Christ. All right, let's get out of here. For Mr. Billy Body, I am Cat Manning. And we are out of time! Reach out and touch.